Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, March 17th, 2017. This typically is the case on Fridays. I'm joined by my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, but we have a special little guest joining us, and we'll see if his voice will make it into the microphones from time to time. Hi, Samuel. Hello. Hello. Oh, he's got at least a smile on his face, so that's a good start. He's got the headphones on, so he's doing pretty good. But how old is this? What, two?
Three.
Three,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's probably a little nervous. The first time on the radio, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, gosh, I'm still in the afterglow state of yesterday's potluck. We had the ending, if you will, of our conversational English classes. We're going to start up in 2 weeks, the first Monday in April, April 3rd. But we had some of the internationals, mainly, I think, at this point, all the Chinese. I think a couple of Taiwanese. But
so how many is that?
I think we had 32 that were ongoing.
Wow.
But the last class, I think there was only about 20-something. You know, being spring break and many of the internationals traveling, they were out of town. But they brought all sorts of dishes. But thank you, God, I was able to sample much of it. I know a couple of the Chinese moms were like, here, have some more, have some more. Oh, and taste some of these dumplings, taste this. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm pretty bland and pretty meat and potato kind of American guy. And yet it was some tasty treats. And then Marge, thank you, she made angelic eggs. And so had a couple familiar items to pick from. She also had these... Was it pumpkin? Not pumpkin. They were these little muffin guys. Oh, carrot cake muffins? Yeah, I think they're carrot cake. Anyways, they were very tasty, so it was really good. Yeah, the English conversation class, in fact, on Monday's edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to have Ruth Esri share about her experience and some of her testimony. And then on Tuesday, it's going to be Rosemary Painter, both teachers with our English conversation classes. But we're going to be recruiting some new people to help us in the days ahead. So be sure to tune in on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and you'll learn more about our English conversation classes, how we're praying God will raise up some new volunteers for the future, and how you can make an impact in an international's life. So, wow, it's been kind of neat, this week of progress and the painting and fine-tuning some of the things here at the center and getting our on-air lights up and almost functioning. So, and then I've been watching commercials on TV, and they've been posting information about the upcoming Home Garden Design Expo that's being put on by WCIA Channel 3 TV, and that's coming here to Lincoln Square April 8th and 9th. That's a Saturday and Sunday. And on April 8th at 2 p.m., the Singing Men of GNN will be presenting on stage in the food court area. So excited about that and some of the other things going on. But it's been a neat occasion to see how God's using this Great News Radio Center. We had wellness workshop going on just last Thursday. I think there's like five different things. Dave Krabiel showed up. He just had a heart attack like last week or 8 or 10 days ago. And he called the station on Wednesday or Thursday. I think it was on Wednesday and said, can I come in and look at the setup so I can maybe hold an international dinner there? Because he and I had talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, didn't you just
have a heart attack?
Yeah, it's like, how are you already up and about? But I guess with modern medicine, and I don't know, maybe that's good once they feel like, okay, they've cleared up the blockage or put in the stent or whatever they ended up doing, then you're ready and good to go again. So, a lot of activities going on, and can't wait to see how God continues to use this in the days ahead. But still getting feedback from our recent trip to Israel. I think I made an easy woofoo link. You taught me how to do that woofoo forms. And I think I had like 6 or 8 people just in the last few days fill that out. So making it easy and convenient, getting a lot of good feedback. So
good, good.
Wow. So you're camped out in Matthew.
I've been doing a lot of prep for Easter and doing some prep for some different things and thinking about some different things. So I have a question for you. We're gonna pick your brain.
Stump the broadcaster.
Stump the broadcaster. Because I'm thinking maybe you haven't thought about this. So we'll see what you're thinking.
Okay.
So towards the end of Matthew, you know, we have the death of Jesus. We have the burial of Jesus. The end of Matthew lists guard is placed at the tomb. And then we have the resurrection. You know, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning. Mary and the other Mary come, and they come with some of the other women, and they go back to the disciples, and they say, he's risen indeed. And then they go to the Mount of Olives. So they're in the area of the resurrection. We've been there when we were in Israel in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and around the area of the Garden Tomb. And then they were over near the Mount of Olives, Bethany and Bethpage, roughly, where they were meeting with the Lord for 40 days. The Lord was teaching them about the fullness of the kingdom of God. But then it says, so we're there in Bethany and Bethpage, and we've been on that hill. There's all the tombs on that hill, and there's the Church of the Ascension. There's all of those things. But then it says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain in which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age.
Now, before you even ask, I don't know what you're going to ask, but I'm thinking, that's kind of interesting because they were right there in Jerusalem, and next we've shifted to Galilee. And you said the mountain in Galilee where he told them to meet up or something?
Told them to meet on a mountain in Galilee. And then, where does the ascension happen? We were there at the Church of the Ascension. So the ascension happens back on the Mount of Olives. And so the question I have for you, an interesting question is, why does Jesus make the disciples travel 130 miles, 7 days on foot north to a mountain in the Galilee to give him these, in our Bibles, 2.5 verses, and have them travel 130 miles, 7 days on foot back down to the Mount of Olives for the ascension? Because that's 14 of the 40 days that he appears to them.
Gave them a lot of time to think on those roads, for sure.
Well, I mean, really, it's interesting to think about, wondering, why did they do those things? Why did he have them do that? What was the purpose of having them go all the way up to the Galilee only to come all the way back? I mean, you think maybe you got to the Galilee and you said, that's it? Like, do you have more? Because we walked a long way. Do you have something else you want to tell us, Jesus? And no. Back down to the Mount of Olives for the ascension.
Maybe a picture of many of our lives. It's kind of like that, you know. We have these expectations. Okay, this will be, it all be revealed here in a simple way, and we'll go where we'll follow him because he commanded us or told us to do this. And then we get there and we're thinking, okay, it'll all be revealed now and it'll just fall into place. And then it's like, nope, okay, now I have something else. Come back here. Or do you have an answer for that?
I really don't have an answer. I have a lot of thoughts, and I've asked over the last couple of days, I've asked a lot of people this question.
What's interesting, the framework of saying he was only there for 40 days and 14 of them, I mean, that's a significant, that's like a third. Was taken up kind of traveling to and fro. And so I wonder, you know, there had to be a lot of conversations as they traveled, or it forced them to be all together as a unit, or many of them together as a unit. Kind of almost like a team building exercise. They had to work together because it was not easy just to travel. It wasn't like they jumped into a car and drove over there.
Right.
They had to have the meals together and stop and pause and probably preparation and, I mean, it was a lot of time together. Certainly.
Yeah, and this was the roads that they had traveled over those 3 years with Jesus. And so a lot of places where they had probably had significant conversation. Now, why do you think maybe he had them go to the Galilee?
Well, that was kind of interesting. Here they are in Jerusalem, if you will, the Mecca, the holy city, the place where the shakers and movers would all be. And yet he had them return, if you will, to the countryside. So maybe that was somewhat of a retreat away from the busyness of the, you know, hustle and bustle that happened in Jerusalem and the religious leaders, and maybe getting them out into the country to get them grounded again, and then to have them turn around again.
Yeah, 2.5 verses, and then they come back down, and they make that big trek again back down to, you know, the Mount of Olives for the ascension, and then to the upper room in that 10 days where they wait for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of an interesting thing. I don't really have an answer other than I wonder if he sent them to the Galilee so that they could be in the place where their original calling happened. And this was kind of the greater mm-hmm. fulfillment of all of that calling, and have them be there in the Galilee. Another thought I had was, I wonder if it was something about getting them out of harm's way. Tensions mm-hmm. would be high in and around Jerusalem still. Jesus had just died. Rumors of his resurrection were now circulating, so maybe to pull them out of that context so they could focus on him. Maybe to get them to a place where they had done a lot of powerful ministry, a lot of reminders. I just wondered, and the Bible doesn't tell you any of this, so it's kind of interesting mm-hmm. to think about, but when they were in the Galilee, maybe that once they got close to the area, remember when we were over there and right. did that? Remember when we did this? Remember when Jesus went out in the boat and he taught? Remember when we went to the other side and Jesus healed the demon-possessed man? And they began to hear all those things. And some of it, I just wonder if it's, you know, Jesus has come follow me. And I wonder if it's like, are you really willing to follow him when it doesn't even seem at that moment to make sense?
Well, I wonder also, returning to their roots, like you said, the mm-hmm. beginning, sometimes pastors or ministry leaders, we have to go back to where we maybe came to Christ in our earlier years, or maybe it's that retreat or that camp experience, and that's where we go and kind of get mm-hmm. renewed. And knowing that they had been with him 3 years, and now he's gone, having them return, they maybe get regrounded or refocused, recalibrated, if you will, mm-hmm. and then ready to launch into, you know, this new outreach to go into all the world. I mean, you know, you're going to your roots so that you can be equipped to go, because isn't his calling now you'll go everywhere?
Yeah, you'll go to all nations. And what's interesting is it says when they went to the mountain in the Galilee, as he directed them, when they saw him, which leads me to believe that in those 7 days on the road, they didn't see him. So they were walking by faith and not by sight. And I wonder if that was another part of it, where Jesus was teaching them to go and do something that might make no sense, but do it on faith. And to walk that, because I have to think, a lot of time during that day one to day seven, they're going, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Why are we walking up here? The center of ministry is Jerusalem. Why are we going back to the Galilee? Why did he send us to do this? You know, and it reminds me of when Abraham had to take Isaac to sacrifice him, he had to go on a 3-day journey. And I just think that in those journeys that God sends us, whether it is the disciples to the Galilee, Abraham to Moriah, whether it's us from here to next week or next year, we have a lot of time to argue ourselves out of obedience. And yet God knows what's going to happen at this time or this time or this time or this time, and we just need to be obedient.
Right. Yeah, I like how many times you can draw a parallel, or like if we put ourselves in that, and, you know, we had spent time with the Lord, which, you know, I would pray that most of us this very day or this week, you know, we were connected with him, we were listening to his voice, we were having impressions on things we should do, and yet the everyday activities of life derail us or sidetrack us. And he told them, this is where you're going to go, and there was probably a lot of things that they had to think through as they mm-hmm. were going there. And did they squander that time, or did they invest it? In fact, I don't know if you felt prayed up, but yesterday especially, I was thinking on our Wednesday broadcast, you were talking about abiding, and I woke up early in the morning. I'm like, I bet Jason is up right now. Lord, you know, have him continue to abide and connect with you. And then I started just thinking about that program from Wednesday, about my calling to make sure that I'm abiding. And when I read a little radio spot for that Wednesday program, mm-hmm. it was that John chapter 15, mm-hmm. right? The abiding.
Yeah.
And as I read those first 8 verses, at least the 8 verses that start talking about abiding in the vine and bearing fruit, I just started getting inspired myself. And I started thinking, you know, I don't think I've been abiding as much as I used to. So I've had a couple of good mornings too. Mm. You know, that jet lag still isn't quite over. But I prayed for you and prayed for others to be abiding. And that was just so key. And so maybe in some sense, it was affording these guys time away from the hustle and bustle or the activities or the masses as they were going on these trails and some routine. Sometimes it is a little easier to abide when you're not being pulled in 8 different directions.
Well, the other thing, too, and I'm going to even offer a correction to myself, is that, you know, we might look at this and go, gosh, you know, they said, you know, because we're such time management people. Gosh, they went 7 days, 130 miles one way, all the way to hear 2.5 verses in our Bible. But then realizing it's 2.5 verses that came from Jesus. I mean, it's red letters.
Yeah.
And it's not only 2.5 verses, but it is the conferring of a mission to them. You know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go. I mean, this amazing moment. And then it ends with, behold, I am with you always. And so these are not just 2.5 verses, and maybe you get there and you go, oh, I can't believe it. I mean, that was a long trip for just such a little. But these come right from Jesus, and it reminded me of when Paul says of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul says, I just told you these words. It's called the gospel. And if you hold fast to that, you're going to see people get saved. You're going to see power. You're going to see something that is entirely different than all the other words have been able to do in your lives. And I think that these words that Jesus confers upon them are incredibly powerful. And then they go back from there, and they go back down to the Mount of Olives. And we have roughly, how the time works out, we don't know exactly where that, if that falls towards the tail end of the 40 days or somewhere in the middle. But then all of a sudden, what do we have? We have Luke chapter 24, which is really interesting. Something happens in Luke 24 that I think we don't see, and I was just doing some reading the other day, which really enlightened this passage to me. It said, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I mean, what stands out to you in that passage?
Well, returning with great joy is because they saw him resurrected, risen up. I mean, that's unbelievable. But I'm still processing the other thing you said, those six words, I will be with you always. I'm still thinking, like where you said, there was only maybe two sentences. Now, again, John says if we recorded all of his words, there'd be volumes we couldn't even contain.
Yeah.
So probably more than those two sentences that are recorded were said. But I'm still thinking, just those six words, I'll be with you always, for our listener today, for you, for me. Do we ever really capture the essence of what he's saying, that he'll be with us always? I think that would be transformative in and of itself.
Well, that's the reason why I took you to Luke chapter 24. That's the reason why I've got you in this verse, because I'm connecting exactly what it is you're saying, because I think we miss this. So you said you think when you read this, the most important part was that they worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy.
Yeah.
I'm going to argue with you about this. The Bible says, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. This is what the Levitical Old Testament priests would do when they would raise their hands up to the assembly and they would pronounce a blessing over the assembly, essentially telling the assembly, I am interceding for you from earth to heaven. I am making petitions to God for you here and now. I am in control of what is happening right now. It would be a sign of the Levitical priests would make of their position and their power. And it says here that when he parted from them, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I think the great joy in the worship had to have been connected to the last thing they experienced, which was him rising up to heaven with his hands raised like those Old Testament Levitical priests that these guys would have known, and pronouncing that blessing, essentially saying to them, I'm in charge. The king has come. I am on my throne. I am ruling. I am reigning. I am here now. And I think what happens sometimes, I had read this recently this week. We did a Bible study in church about this, about the importance of the ascension. I think oftentimes what happens is we get to the ascension and we think Jesus went up and we'll wait now for him to come back, instead of realizing that he is presently and powerfully ruling and reigning. He is with us always.
Yeah.
Until the end of the age. And what age? That end of that age that Jesus himself establishes. And we don't have him. So I think what happens is, because we can't see him, we think, well, we'll just wait till he comes back, and somehow there's an absence of Jesus. But there is not. He is presently ruling, presently reigning, presently powerful. He is with us always. And like the disciples walking up north and then coming back after they hear the Great Commission, we are walking through our lives by faith and not by sight.
Right.
Hanging on those very words and that very last blessing of Christ as he was drawn up into the clouds. I mean, you had to have thought when they saw him going up in the clouds, they thought he's vacating his place here. but he is still on the throne because he will be with us always until the end of the age.
Yeah. That's why I wrote down those six words. I will be with you always. It's just a concept that I think we fail to grasp, or, you know, we get caught up in our circumstances or disappointments, or we're disillusioned over something and we're just like, where's the Lord in that?
Yeah.
Well, the Lord has clearly spoken, proclaimed, promised, declared, I am with you always. And I'm just thinking, wow, to go into the weekend being mindful of that, being confident of that, maybe better yet, being certain of that, is transformative.
It not only is transformative, but it should lead you right to where the disciples stood, which is with great joy and worship. Yeah. And so as you get ready to go into the weekend, friends, as you get ready to go into a church on Sunday morning, go in with great joy, with this sense that you are worshiping not a God who's going to come back soon, but a God who is also presently ruling, presently reigning, presently powerful, presently upon his throne. And he is orchestrating all the events, and you are acting in the strength of that joy. I mean, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Can you say it with me? The joy of the Lord is my strength.
And regardless of whether you feel it or sense it, it's a truth, it's a fact. And if Jesus declared, I am with you always, you could take it to the bank, as they say. Ah, encouraging words right there in Scripture for each and every one of us. And that's at the very end of Matthew.
Yeah, the very end of Matthew and the very end of Luke.
Very end of Matthew. So that's the assignment today. If you're unfamiliar with those passages, turn to Luke, turn to Matthew, and be blessed and be joyful. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all.